Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Every Friday at 12:30, we'll sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these artists. Conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today's interview is a bit different, as we're talking to two women, Leah Lamb and Jane Talley, who are involved in making a documentary about community involvement. Leah, Jane, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to Zero Hour.
Thank you for having us.
Sure, no problem. Leah, tell us a little bit about what this project is about. Sort of fill in our listeners as to what it is you guys are doing.
So I'm actually with an organization called Active Voice, and what we are is we're a team of strategic communication specialists that look at how do you use media to have a really strong personal influence, and oftentimes with our films that we use an influence on policy. So the actual producers of this film is an organization called IPF, which is the Independent mm-hmm. Production Fund. And the way that this film came to be is rather amazing, which it really was born out of September 11th, where the Fetzer Institute looked at what could they do that had an influence, a positive influence, on what was going on in the world. And as you know, at that time, it was a rather frightening time. So what mm-hmm. they did was they started a three-year initiative on love and forgiveness, and then the process of producing three films. And this is actually the first of three. So the first film is called The Mystery of Love. And it's a film that looks at and really examines that there are many different kinds of love that we can express, that we can experience every day, and that romantic love is just one of many. So what we're doing, and it's just this really exciting project, we're mm-hmm. actually getting to use this film, which is going to air on December 13th right here in Richmond.
Really? What channel?
On your local PBS station.
So 23 would be here. Yeah, right. Channel 23. Yep. And what's the date again?
December 13th.
Right, okay.
I think it's 9 p.m., but always check your local guide.
Okay. 9 p.m., sort of.
Right. And so what we're actually doing is we're working with 10 communities across the country to look at how can they use sustained dialogue. So bringing the same group of people together at least four times while watching the film and seeing what happens in their communities through having these discussions that get to build over time, where you build relationships, where you build experience, and perhaps you even build a project in your own community using this film as the jumping off, the starting
place. Okay, let me play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Sounds enormously naive to me. Right?
Sure.
I mean, I know that's a tough way to say
it,
but...
people blogging about this as we
right?
speak, saying the mm-hmm. same thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that?
I think that, I mean, when you hear the word love, it's complicated. You know, I think a lot of people immediately think of, well, what love do I have in my life, or what love do I not have in my life, you know, and can be bitter or loving towards the subject of talking about love, depending right. on their current experience.
Love,
you know,
has two edges. Right.
And I think, you know, the biggest thing that I talk about is when I try to put the framework for how people think about this project, I say think about love like Martin Luther King Jr. talks about love, or about Mahatma Gandhi, or about John Lennon. You know, these people talk about love in a much larger universal context, about how love is practiced in our communities, in our relationships, and not stuck on the, you know, do I have a boyfriend, do I have a husband, do I have a, you know, a romantic intimate relationship right now. It looks at love as intimacy with community, as love of friendship, of love of country, of love of...
Yeah, it almost feels like, in a funny sort of way, and Jane and I guess, are old enough to remember the 60s, but there, coming out of the 60s, there was sort of a sort of blind acceptance of the way life was. Coming out of the late 90s, early 2000s, there's almost this radical right, almost cynical, arrogant way of the way life should be. And this almost sounds like a seed. This almost sounds like sort of the first volley of, wait a minute, we've gone way astray here. Let's talk about something like the concept of love, the way that Gandhi might talk about it, the way that King might talk about it. Let's see if we can recapture some of the essence of what we really want to think this country is about. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's what's going on here? That there's a beginning of a shift? Because I don't think you could have done this thing 5 years ago. Do
well,
you?
It's interesting, Tim, that you talk about the 60s, because I think that... folks were moving from a very functional way, very rigid roles, right, in thinking of themselves in just a narrow path. And the 60s tried to open people up,
right,
to think broader. And I think this is really an effort kind of bringing us back to a more sensitive, thoughtful way, inclusive way of thinking about having people in your lives, and to embrace a broader feeling of inclusiveness. And
but why do we need that? I mean, that's what's interesting. Why all of a sudden this urgency, really, to do something like this? Because I honestly don't think you could have gotten this off the ground 5 years ago. Maybe you could have, but I'm not sure that the momentum would be there. I mean, you mentioned this to me now, and it kind of resonates, and I go, yeah, that's an interesting idea. Whereas 5 years ago, you know, 9/11, you're going to talk about love, give me a break, you know. So I don't know. It almost sounds like a part of healing in this country, a part of what the horrors we've been through politically, you know, terror. I don't know. I guess I should be asking rather than proclaiming. But
well, I'm a part of an organization that the Ministry of Love is going to participate in
right,
this project. It is called Hope in the Cities.
Yes.
And Hope in the Cities' effort is to bring about peace and racial connectiveness with both economically and
socially, I guess.
Socially.
You know.
This comes at a great time for us when folks are struggling with a time that we think that they are racial healing,
mm-hmm,
and it's really not.
Right, right.
And we're getting so many incidents. Our comedian that just...
Michael Richards.
Yes.
Yeah, swell guy.
So
he and Mel Gibson, by the way, are doing a show together. Did you hear?
Is that right? So it's those kinds of incidences that kind of points out maybe we're not as far as we think we are.
Right.
And we need to explore that.
Did you feel that Hope in the Cities was more of an uphill struggle 5-6 years ago than it is now? Do you feel as though there's more traction now, less traction now? Do you know what I'm talking about? Just in terms of receptivity in the community?
Actually, I think that even 5 years ago, people had began to really feel a need to connect on a different
right,
level. I've worked with them for about 10 years, and it's fascinating. Once you begin to get people to talk,
right, right,
it's an incredible unloading of deep things that they had no place to let
yeah,
it out.
It's one of those strange things about the Army, you know, or, you know, the military service that integrated, you know, a long, long time ago. And, you know, you've got these guys who normally, and especially, you know, 30 years ago, who never would have come into contact with each other, and now are thrown together, have to talk to each other, have to work together. You know, I was never in the military, but I certainly have heard time and time again that in the military, those kinds of issues, racial issues, for instance, are less of a problem than they are in the general culture.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I was never there, but that's what I've heard. And I'm just making reference to you saying that, you know, people just need to talk together. Sounds like such a simple thing.
Such a simple thing. But people are still reluctant to really get deeper than just the superficial, hello, how are you doing? You know, they've really, it's an opportunity to go below that. Those superficial social courtesies that we tend to put up and pretend.
One of the things that's really amazing is that we selected 10 communities across the country to participate in this dialogue relationship with the Mystery of Love. And time again, when we came across the right organizations that wanted to participate, they all said, we've been looking for something like this. We've been looking for an opportunity to actually bring love into the larger discussion of what our organizations do. And this is a perfect medium. So it's kind of exciting. I'd love to hear Jane talk about how Hope in the City is going to be using the film, because it's exciting. You have a unique approach.
Yes. Well, Hope in the Cities decided that we would move into a topic that we've already been touching, and it involves everyone in the community, and that is education. everyone is not happy with, in particular, public education.
Right.
So to get at our fears about what is holding us back from having a very effective, thriving public school system in the Tri-City area. So we are going to use that in a discussion of love. Strange, seemingly strange combination, but it leads us to a level that we have feared to go.
When you say the word love, right? Mm-hmm. Probably there are, I don't know how many people listening to this right now, but I bet every one of them would have a different definition of love.
Yes.
Okay. Can you articulate what you mean by that in terms of the context of your project? I mean, we're not talking about coming together, hugging, singing kumbaya, and going home, right?
No, we're not.
Okay, so it's so all the corporate types out there.
We're talking about genuine affection and caring for someone other than yourself. Okay. We're talking about the extension of, and for those people who are faith-based, the extension of their God or their supreme being in the form of love between each other, to care enough as you would care about yourself.
The golden rule.
The golden rule. Sometimes it's the golden rule.
I mean, that's
rule.
A little overused, but...
It is at least giving the same benefit to someone else that you feel you deserve.
So how do you
deserve.
See this working? I mean, do you really see this just in terms of having conversations? Leah had mentioned to me something about, what is it? Sex in the boardroom and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure, anybody listening out there is waiting for us to get to the sex part here. You know, love.
You know, the male gender would probably scoff at this whole thing about love.
Right.
It sounds so hokey. But actually, when we talk about love within the context of your family and your friends, we don't think about those same elements applying at the workplace.
Right.
So we're going to move those kinds of considerations that you would give outside of your work to help you to apply those principles in the way that you work, in the decisions that you make, that behind closed doors when nobody is watching.
Right.
That's how we see the impact of an internal change would have an effect.
How does that have to do with the schools?
Those are two different topics.
Oh, they're two different.
One of our dialogues are going to be around the school system, education.
Okay. Okay.
And the other dialogue is going to be all males.
Really?
The other one, the first one is...
And what's it going to be called?
It's still the mystery of love.
Right.
It's going to be in February when everybody's thinking about love.
Right, right.
And
for those of you who live in a cave, February 14th, Valentine's Day, okay?
And they tend to think about romantic love.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to move them just from romantic love, from
and
the
these
bedroom
are just, these are,
to the co- to the boardroom.
From the bedroom to the boardroom, great. And these are, really, you're going to do this with men?
We're going to do this with men.
Where is this going to take place?
We're going to have that at the Hope in the City's office, and we don't have the date, but we'll let everyone know what that date would be. Listen out for the announcement.
Have you already picked the people?
No, we have not picked the people.
Do you want anybody out there listening to?
Please.
Yes?
We invite anybody who's listening.
How do they get a hold of you guys? Would it be online be the best way? Or
you can get in touch with me online at TallyJC.
How do you spell Tally?
T-A-L-L-E-Y.
Okay.
J like in Jack.
Mm-hmm.
C like in call.
Right.
3
okay.
At AOL.
All right. So all you guys out there, you know, all you guys out there listening, you know, bedroom, boardroom, give it a call. This is Tim Bowring and you're listening. This show just took on a whole new tone. Well, tell me, Leah, a little bit more about the overall project, because it's Hope in the Cities is one part. One city in 10, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back to that in a minute. But tell me what else. I was viewing some of the video. The thing I saw, which was kind of fun, was a guy who was a pig farmer who was on an airplane because he'd gotten a free flight because he just bought a crop dusting equipment or something, and they were flying him to Denmark. I mean, it just makes no sense at all. But anyway, apparently they build this stuff in Denmark or something. So, you know, as life as it is, he sits down next to an opera singer on an airplane. They fall madly in love and get married, and she moves out onto his pig farm. So take it from there, Lee.
Well, that was easy. Thank you.
I can't remember what that section was called. Love and Pigs or something. I don't know. Love Your Pig. I can't remember.
I think that might have been Love and Romance.
Ah, Love and Romance. Yes, it was.
There are 11 different segments in the film, and they cover a wide range of love. And that one was, you know, an unexpected love. And it's a fairly sweet story about how two people who are extremely different can find love. And they talk about the challenges that they experience, as well as the true intimacy that they experience. The other parts of the film take more of a social justice bent. You know, one of them is about a story about where one man's grandson, who was, I believe, 14, murdered another man's son, who was 21, and how the father of the man whose child was murdered realized that there were really victims on both sides of the gun, that the child who was then incarcerated was just as much a victim as his own son. And in his own spiritual quest to find peace with what had happened, he started a foundation and now works in direct partnership with the grandfather of the boy who's now incarcerated to work on violence prevention. And that one's really about love of community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the things that we're looking at is how can we, you know, take this ambiguous subject of love,
yeah, really.
You know, across the country. And your questions about, you know, how do you talk about love? You know, we're asking those very same questions in terms of how do we present this. So we found 10 communities across the country that really get it and excite us as an organization of Active Voice about all of many different ways that people can integrate these concepts into their lives in meaningful ways. So some of them are like, for instance, I'll be in Dayton, Ohio on Tuesday meeting with an organization called Civic Life International, and they are really into race relations, and they're working with their city office, their community leaders, and they're really looking at the issue of race relations and how can love and a discussion of love bring people together in a really meaningful way in a community that's feeling a lot of pain right now and feeling enough pain, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. to try something new and different. Other organizations, like in Bloomington, Indiana, we have an organization right there called Namaste Sacred Arts, and that is more of like a healing center. And they're saying we want love to be part of a spiritual healing in our community, and we want to bring a wide range of people together, and that's our true intention. We have a group in Fort Worth, Texas, that's looking at minority leaders and saying we really want to bring minority leaders together around this discussion of love in leadership, mm-hmm. and these are all business leaders. We have another group actually down in Austin, Texas, that's all about interfaith. It's a group that's really rather fascinating, interfaith groups that leaders of different churches, and they come together for the support group, and they're using love as a to further their discussion and relationship with each other. Mm. And then I just came from Las Vegas. And in Las Vegas.
Love in Las Vegas. Okay, now we're talking.
No. Think Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, okay. Right. Sorry. Remember you mentioned about those men thing? Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll be there.
But Regis University, again, is looking at how can they use love. And what they say is, and Regis University is looking at developing partnerships with many different religious leaders in their own community, and they really want to bring people of different religious faiths, especially leaders of religious faiths, together into collaboration and get them working together. And they're hoping that this discussion, this dialogue, will be, again, a reason to start something that they hope to last for a lifetime.
What do you guys think about the, this is completely, totally separate, but not at all, really, the situation with the Amish? Any thoughts on that? And for anybody who's not reading the papers, man broke into an Amish schoolhouse, killed a bunch of girls, and the Amish people the next day invited his wife over for dinner. and began, I guess, what they thought was a healing. Any thoughts about how that applies to what you're trying to do, or maybe you're not comfortable talking about that because you don't know enough about the Amish, but I think most of the world was pretty stunned by that, the way they handled that.
I think that the Amish certainly in that instance showed the ability to move beyond an incident to a deeper love for their maker,
mm-hmm.
And to apply it. So often we talk it,
mm-hmm.
but we can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, when push comes to shove,
yeah,
all of a sudden, really, when it's your kid that gets killed, yeah, the death penalty is not such a bad idea,
yeah,
after all.
Yeah. When it comes to something that confronts you, it's mm-hmm. a whole different story.
As we see in the Middle East.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. And even though we might profess love and a kumbaya spirit,
mm-hmm.
When we get down to talking about forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
it's a very, very difficult step mm-hmm. to make.
Have either one of you ever experienced anything like that in your own life, where you had to get to turn yourself inside out to find forgiveness?
Thankfully, not in that kind of extreme.
Not in that
situation.
Context?
Not in that extreme.
No. Yeah.
There's been small incidents that mm-hmm. Requires you to forgive. And often you have to...
Even the small ones are tough.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah,
they're not as exciting. But, you know, when somebody says something to you that hurts your feelings at the office, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. I can hang on to it for two or three mm-hmm. days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Along with fantasies of maybe they'll get run over by a bus, you know. Or something. I mean, I'm already down the road, man.
To step in someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
To say, this is not about me today.
Mm-hmm.
He has obviously had a bad day somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can confront him on what's eating you. How mm-hmm. can I help? Rather than to see it as an attack on you personally.
Let's talk a little bit more about the schools. Richmond Public Schools have been challenged for years. A lot of that has been racially driven. A lot of that has then been financially driven in terms of financial limitations. What do you see hope in the cities in this project? Do you have a vision of where you'd like this to go in terms of what would you like to see the outcome of these conversations be in Richmond?
I think we would love to see a cooperative venture with all of the between all the regions.
Oh, interesting. Between Richmond,
Henrico, Chesterfield.
Really?
And for us to look at this as a whole.
Yes.
Because we are all affected.
Yes.
And we want to develop a healthy, integrated school system for the entire area.
Wow.
And we've struggled with this, and look at the past 50 years where mm-hmm. since Brown versus Board of Education, and we've not come too far.
No, it's pretty staggering, isn't it? You and I are old enough to remember the excitement about
exactly.
integration, how it was all going to work and be wonderful, and then the disappointment of busing and what
exactly.
happened with that. And now you look around Richmond Public Schools, and I taught in the public schools, and when I taught there, I was the only white guy in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, mm-hmm. integration.
and
on both parties now, I think, are sort of saying, integration?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
well, that didn't work.
And why?
Yeah.
Why,
yeah.
Why do we need that?
Yeah, exactly. Which is a whole nother show, I'm afraid. As we could really go on that one for a while. But is that going to be part of the discussion? That the Richmond Public School System, I guess, is what, 90-something
African-American? African-American.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to address that. And we want that to be a very diverse group that will mm-hmm. make this discussion. So please...
Who are you trying to get involved? Tell us who you want there.
We want folks of all race, mm-hmm. religion, economic levels, to participate in,
so,
in this dialogue.
People are involved in community change, people who are involved in nonprofits, people who are involved in businesses, people who are involved in government, people who are involved in all different levels of our community.
And just parents.
And parents, right.
Those who really want to make a difference in the school system but just have nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is frustrated with that.
Getting yourself in trouble, are the counties receptive to this?
We have involved all of the counties so far.
Really?
In our discussions, mm-hmm. About the schools, and they've been very receptive. They have been very receptive.
Yeah.
We had a Hope in the Cities had a Metropolitan Day breakfast. We brought in a speaker who talked about John Powell, who talked about the real essence is housing. It's a housing pattern that dictates the school attendance. And so it's like people are not an island, and this topic is just not a single issue. It's tied to every other part of the community.
If you could think of one thing you'd like to see, Leah, both of you, that you'd like to see come out of this project, what would it be? What would you like to see? Lee, what would you like to see come out of this?
I mean, I think for me at this point, the mystery is unfolding in terms of all the different ways that people can take this far beyond. I mean, our goal was to really to raise consciousness about love, to take into the communities. And what's unfolding is something far more than we ever could have imagined ourselves in terms of how communities are taking this concept and making it very deep and very real and very logical, ironically, you know, because you don't think of love and logic as always going hand in hand, in terms of what community needs are present and how can they be addressed. So to me, that's a dream come true, you know, as you know, how this film can really have a long-term, long-standing influence and effect on communities.
Communication, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Discovery.
And the willingness to ask the questions, the hard,
yeah,
the
tough,
painful questions.
Yeah.
And letting love be an avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels funny for me to even say that because I'm not, you know, I'm not someone that would have before thought of love in this way, to be quite honest. You know, as love is an avenue.
Well, I brought up the 60s. You know, I remember John Lennon, you know, his songs, his thoughts about that. The pop art back then, that old poster. Remember that old poster, Jane Love?
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, gang, it sounds like it's back. Mm-hmm. What about you? Any sense of...
For me, it's bringing together that elusive quality of feelings to a place that we can apply it to our everyday life.
Right.
To really make it real. Because the fact is, we all are seeking love.
Yeah.
We all are seeking love. Mm-hmm. And it is in that quest that we take different avenues to get there.
Yeah, there are no bad guys out there in their own eyes. You know, everybody's trying to do the right thing.
Everybody's trying to do the right thing. They just make the wrong decisions, the wrong path, to get to that crossroad and just somehow make that bad decision that leads them, but ultimately want the same thing.
Well, guess what? We're out of time. This tends to zoom by. This is fascinating. Obviously, there's way more here than we can talk about in 30 minutes, but I think we touched on it. Leah, tell me again when this is going to show.
December 13th, 9 p.m. on your local PBS station.
Okay, so on here in Richmond on Channel 23, December 13th at 9 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
But check the listings to make sure. We've got to go. I want to thank you folks for tuning into Zero Hour. I hope you've enjoyed our lunch together. We look forward to seeing you again on the radio next Friday at 12:30. And once again, this is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us.